Hello, and welcome to the Learning College. My name is Alex Linder, and you can find this and everything we record at vnnforum.com. Links also always posted at pyville.net and at kirksfilltoday.com, kirksfill.com. Today we're going to resume with George Lincoln Rockwell in Chapter 5 of his book, White Power. We've done the first four chapters. Chapter 3 took two segments, and he's talked about American decline, death rattle, the terrible symptoms of decline, using the analogy of a ship charting a course, being fed bad charts by the media and the press so that we end up piling up in the rocks time after time after time, destroying the society, ripping the bottom out of the boat. And now, finally, in Chapter 5, he's going to tell us who these people are. Now, last chapter we heard all about the frame of communists as agrarian reformers and all the lies the left uses to promote communism around the world. He's very hung up at the political level, but perhaps now he'll get more down to the biological level and talk about Jews in Chapter 5, which is called The Shipwreckers, continuing the analogy. And again, he was in the Navy for a very long time, I think 19 years, something like that. So, this chapter is about 24 pages, so I don't know if we'll get it all, depending on how much else there is to say, or we'll get part of the way through it, like we did with Chapter 3. Anyway, White Power, Chapter 5, The Shipwreckers. Picking up on page 64 on the PDF out of 272. Chapter 5, The Shipwreckers. In most criminal gangs, the troops usually wind up on the short end of the stick, while Mr. Big takes not only the lion's share, but everybody else's too. And he falls into a common error, which is far more common than correct use. The lion's share means the whole thing. Almost nobody knows that. It's almost always used the way he does it. So in the eternal truth of there's no law save usage, he's not wrong, because that is how everybody else does it. But technically, the lion's share means the whole thing, not the majority. Just a little point of pride for you to know. Like the correct, it falls in the same category as the correct pronunciation of ERR is pronounced not the air that 99% think. If you want to be a snob, you need to know things like this. I merely point them out because it's nice to be right, isn't it? Correct? Usually most of the troops don't even know who the top boss really is. Further, Mr. Big usually has a respectable front. So he's kind of making his own way of talking about Lenin's useful idiots. These would be the Antifa and people on the left who think they're rebelling against the system when they're actually serving the people at the top. Anyway, it is just so with the criminal international gang of shipwreckers and looters called the communists. The Mr. Big of the ship, the Red Shipwreckers, is a very special kind of boss. He appears to the world as the very essence of respectability. He is almost unknown for the killer and gangster he actually is, even among his own red troops. But in spite of all the fronts and cover-ups, there is one sure way of knowing who is the real boss any place. In Capone's mob, Al Capone, you could cuss the torpedoes, but if you made vile remarks about Big Al, you weren't around long. In China, you can have all the free speech you want, so long as you don't criticize Mao Zedong. In Cuba, you can have all the free speech you want, so long as you don't criticize Castro. Let's see if there's anybody in America whom nobody dares criticize. Let's see if there is anybody in America whom nobody dares criticize. It's certainly not the president. Razzing the president is a national sport. Several times, LBJ has been unable to speak for all the criticism being screamed at him by demonstrators. Nor is it any other official. You can't name any elected official in America who is so sacred that there isn't somebody blasting away at him. Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, that level. Nor is there any group you can't take a pot shot at. You can cuss the Polacks, the Irish, the squareheads, even the Catholics. Squarehead would be for Germans. Even the Catholics and the Pope himself, as Rudolf Hochhuth's play, The Deputy, shows. That was a play written in the early 60s that basically said the Pope is a Nazi or helped the Nazis, as I recall. So a typical leftist thing, which is not true. The Pope sided with the Jews. As E. Michael Jones says, Catholicism protects Jews. You can even criticize the Negroes if you do it in the guise of states' rights or solicitous love of the colored people. Yeah, that's turnaround, the states' rights parts, although what I call the parlor trick in the 80s, what he's referring to as the solicitous love of the colored people, that is, putting the policy you want in terms of it being good for blacks, something the Republicans have done literally my entire life. They have never stood for anything pro-white, only implicit stuff that they're easily backed off of. They're always putting things, we have to do this because it's good for blacks. It's done all the time, North and South. Even Huntley and Brinkley, David Brinkley and Chet Huntley, used to be former newscast anchors, recently ran a news special on a Negro housing project in St. Louis and showed the Negroes in the brutally bad light they create for themselves. So some of those federal housing projects, they end up to Michelle Robert Johnson or Cabrina Green up in Chicago. But who dares criticize Jews? Can you imagine a TV special by Huntley and Brinkley on the fact that almost all our Soviet spies, like the Rosenbergs, Sobel, Soblen, Brothman, Gold, Moskowitz, Greenglass, Weinbaum, etc., have been Jews? It takes only a moment of reflection for any honest American looking right inside his own soul to see that the one group most feared and dreaded in our country is the Jews. Nobody ever criticizes Jews as Jews. Do you dare to do it? How did this happen? What's so special about these Jews? Why is everybody afraid of them? Afraid in all caps. The word afraid is derived from the word fear. You can only be afraid of what you fear, and you only fear what has some kind of power over you. What power have Jews over us, and how did they get it? It was the much-publicized little old lady in sneakers who started me thinking seriously about the power of Jewry for the first time, and I think this is the part I do recall, because I have read his books before that when he was a conservative trying to find out the why, similar to me and others, he came across a lady who pointed him out, no, the communism is Jewish. I think he's going to get into that now. It was a much-publicized little old lady in sneakers, in quotes. He uses a lot of quotes in his work. I don't always mention them. Who started me seriously thinking about the power of Jewry for the first time. For 32 years of my life, again, this is pre-internet. How is he to know unless someone told him? For 32 years of my life, I had, like almost all Americans, believed that Jews were just a special religious group who were good businessmen. Also, like most Americans, I believed they had a special affinity for money and a fantastic ability to get money. But that's all. I had, of course, heard all the standard canards about Jews, which is the word the ADL used to use before it switched to tropes in maybe 2021 or 2020. I don't think any earlier. Canards, it's charges leveled against the Jews that are almost always true, and they call them lies, but they use a fancy word. But again, like millions of my fellow Americans, I figured these accusations against the Jews were just the product of bigotry, scapegoating, and envy of Jewish ability. Then, in 1950, when I was instructing Marine and Navy pilots in close air support of ground troops during the Korean War, I got interested in trying to put Douglas MacArthur in the White House. As a naval officer, I had known and respected Douglas MacArthur. I thought he would make the greatest president of the United States of America. When there was a campaign to get him in the Republican nomination in 1952, I wanted to do what I could to help. I read a letter in the San Diego Union from a woman. Yeah, he's down there. You know, they train the pilots. They got a bunch of Navy stuff. They fly out over the desert, do their little practices. I got a letter from a woman who lamented that no one would help her get a MacArthur rally going. So I called the lady, whose name I have forgotten, and offered what help I could give. She was very grateful and invited me to the little cottage where she lived in retirement with her husband. I started to tell her all of the things I thought could be done. I suggested we get a hall and hold a rally. She just smiled with a patient, sad smile and stopped me. No, you can't get a hall so easy, even if you pay. They won't rent one. This is 1950. What do you mean? I burst. Who won't rent one? She looked queerly and quizzically at her husband, clearly asking him with her eyes about something. He just shook his head. Who won't rent you a hall? I asked again, looking from him to her. She took a deep breath, looked pained, and then said, The Jews. The Jews? Came out of me involuntarily. What have the Jews got to do with it? What do they care whether you get a hall or not? They hate MacArthur, she said, and started to say something else when I interrupted her. Hate him? That's silly. I suppose some of them do, but certainly not all of them, and certainly none of them hate him enough to stop you from hiring a hall for a MacArthur rally. She took another deep breath, looking hurt. It's true, she said. They all hate him. Look at this, for instance, and she handed me a copy of the California Jewish Voice. There it was. Quote, MacArthur approaches... Hitler enters the chancellery. And the paper went on to rave about how General MacArthur was the greatest threat of a, quote, new Hitler. I couldn't believe it. This is the big World War II hero. General MacArthur. And the Jews are already afraid that any goy with a military background who has a lot of popularity will be the new Hitler because they know what they're up to. Jews are aware that they're a completely criminal enterprise. They know what they've done. They know what they deserve. That's only one paper, I countered. It's probably just an extremist sheet. I'm sure the Jews don't imagine MacArthur is really another Hitler. She showed me another Jewish paper, the B'nai B'rith Messenger. Its tone was more dignified, but the same hatred of MacArthur was there. She showed me still other Jewish papers, and most of them were vile pictures of Joe McCarthy, not MacArthur, McCarthy, right? Terrible charges against him and MacArthur. These are two different people. One is an anti-communist, it's kind of a drunk, German-Irish background from Wisconsin. That's MacArthy. The other is a big World War II, I don't know where he's from, general who won the war in the Philippines and in the East, right? And they're afraid of MacArthur. They hate them both thoroughly. In most of them were vile pictures on all these Jew papers from the West Coast, vile pictures of Joe MacArthur, terrible charges against him and MacArthur, and unmistakable venom for both of these men, MacArthur and McCarthy. This is the experience which awaits every honest American who begins to think about the Jewish question. I don't believe in calling it the question. I believe it should be called a liar or problem. Calling it a question is how the Jews' own Catholic Church frames it, but it's not a question because cultural conversion will not change what Jews are. The problem is biological, and calling it a question is an attempt to evade that. It's very subtle. 99 out of 100 won't pick up on that, but that's the intent of viewing the false and wrong question. I had suddenly been exposed. Jews are a problem like termites are a problem. I had suddenly been exposed to a whole secret world which the average American never even imagines and never sees, the secret world of the Jews. In the same Jewish voice, I saw the headlines by the editor Sammy Gach, G-A-C-H, thank God the day Russia got the A-bomb. Jewish Voice, September 30th, 1949, because they identify with the Jews running the Soviet Union, not their own country they're supposedly, ostensibly, but not actually part of. They're in America. They're not Americans. They're in Americans. They're not Americans, is how I like to put it. They're paper Americans. They're legal Americans even, but they're not real Americans. And the same goes for every other country they're in. This is the experience which awaits every honest American who begins to think about the Jewish question. He discovers Jews are not what he thinks they are, and they have very extensive underlying control such that people are even afraid to talk about them, let alone criticize them, because it's not safe. I saw hundreds of similar treasonable items, but most Americans are too insulated and easygoing ever to look into this Jewish press. Sooner or later, no matter how long the average American is kept in the dark, or keeps himself in the dark, by imagining that discovering Jewish treason against his country and people is bigotry, he will find the naked evidence of this unified, alien, fanatical Jewish world in the midst of his own people. Implacable, hateful, spiteful, bitter, and diabolically clever, and appearing to be only a persecuted religious group. The whole thing, however, still didn't register with me at the time. It was too fantastic. I felt sure there was some misunderstanding somehow, but the lady gave me some books and papers to take home and study. When I got home, I looked at the first paper. It was called Common Sense, and the headline was Red Dictatorship by 1954. I figured right away I had found the paranoiac nature of this monstrous, quote, Jewish scare the lady had told me about. So this is who the lady was. I was thinking it was someone at a library, but she was someone who wanted to do a rally for MacArthur as president back then in 1950 for 1952. And she introduced him, gave him these papers, and showed him what the Jews actually think. And he had no idea of it at the time, again, because the internet didn't exist. And I guess no one in the military had hipped him to what was actually going on. But because he had an interest in politics and a scientific interest in understanding the why of things that was with him since he was a little kid, as he has said, he finally got to the right person and got the right evidence and figured out what was going on. And so it is with all of us in our various and different ways. I figured right away I had found the paranoiac nature of this monstrous, quote, Jewish scare the lady had told me about, a fantastic Jewish, quote, world plot, and I couldn't even finish reading it. It seemed too silly and disgusting for an intelligent man to bother about reading. But in the few lines I did read, Common Sense gave what it claimed were startling facts about the Jewishness of communism and Russian Revolution. It listed as the sources of some of these unbelievable facts the Jewish Encyclopedia in various official U.S. government documents. This seemed like an excellent opportunity to spike such a fantastic idea as that communism was Jewish, and I decided to check these supposed facts out. Like Pierce would say, look it up for yourself. Few will, he's one of the ones that would. I went over to the San Diego Public Library, this is the part I remember now, and dug around in the volumes mentioned in Common Sense. I can't remember who wrote Common Sense, John Reed or somebody maybe. Down there in the dark stacks of the San Diego Public Library, I got my awakening from 30 years of stupid political sleep, the same deadly sleep now closing the eyes of our people and making them cooperate with their enemies and their own destruction, all in the name of good citizenship, brotherhood, and all the rest of the shibboleths of nice people. That is the white middle class. I discovered a whole secret world, the world of the Jews. And the Jews' world is secret only because the non-Jews can't believe there could be such a world and never look into it. Perhaps one of the simplest ways to demonstrate, and that's a good way to think about that, exposing the Jews' secret world. They're an entirely different race, entirely alien people. They live in a world entirely different from the one you and I live in. Make that case to our fellow Americans. Lay it out so they can, not me even making a case, simply showing them this is what's actually going on. Most don't care. Many to most will avert their eyes, but some do care, and those are the ones that got to be worried about. Perhaps one of the simplest ways to demonstrate the secret Jewish world, even to the most hostile reader, is to let him perform a simple experiment. and here is a catalog of the thousands of manufacturers who are forced to pay the Jews to put this symbol called a Hechsher, H-E-C-H-S-H-E-R, on its labels, for which the rabbis get a special certification fee. You have to pay a Jew tax for everything you manufacture. Let the doubter go to his kitchen and get out any dozen cans of different foods and a few cans of scouring powder, soap, etc. Examine the labels of these cans carefully for either a little U in a circle or a K. The U means Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations of America, and the K stands for kosher. You will find these Jewish symbols on most of your groceries. Here are some advertisements from Jewish papers to give you an idea of what is going on in the Jewish secret world. Food products in Canada have MK, Montreal Kosher, and COR, Canadian Orthodox Rabbis, on the labels. The Wall Street Journal for April 23, 1969, revealed that grocery companies were paying millions and millions of dollars to put these kosher symbols on their labels. In fact, even the Jewish newsletter for June 1, 1959, warned the Jews that this K and U business is a racket, pure and simple, and that if Jewish racketeers didn't ease up a bit on it, the non-Jews would find it out and there would be hell to pay. The whole dirty Jewish business almost broke into national news when a greedy rabbi in Indianapolis in 1957, as court records will show, sued the Coca-Cola company and made them pay him $30,000 to put his Jewish Hechsher kosher label on this soft drink. The same Jewish newsletter points out that the greatest rabbinical authorities testify that neither Coca-Cola nor any other drink requires rabbinical supervision. That's $30,000 paid to just one rabbi in one city by one company to put these Jewish symbols on one soft drink for general American consumption, which almost no non-Jewish Americans know about. But it is the non-Jews who are paying for this racket. You, the vast Christian majority, pay that rabbi, not only in Indianapolis, but also in every city and every state in America, day after day, year after year, to make almost all your food kosher, Jewish. How long do you think the Jews would tolerate Catholics running such an out-and-out racket, costing us all millions of dollars in tribute, and forcing Catholic religious practices on all of us in our food? How long do you think the Jews would tolerate a Nazi minority in Israel insisting on having a Nazi stormtrooper in every Jewish food factory to put a little swastika on every can of food eaten by the Jews? Continuing my research into still another area of the secret world of the Jews, I found in unimpeachable documents and intelligence studies by our own U.S. government that the Russian Revolution was not Russian at all, but almost wholly led by Jews. A table made in April 1918 by Robert Wilton for the G2 section, Military Intelligence of the U.S. Army, G2, shows that at the time of the Russian Revolution, there were 384 commissars running Russia, political bosses, including two Negroes, 13 Russians out of 384, 15 Chinese, 22 Armenians, and more than 300 Jews. So more than 300 out of 384 commissars running Russia were Jews, as found by a study by the U.S. Army, April 1918, by Robert Wilton at Wilton for the G-2 section, the Military Intelligence of the U.S. Army. 300 out of 300, more than 300 out of 384 commissars running Russia were Jews. Of the latter number, 264 had come to Russia from the United States, mostly out of New York City, since the downfall of the imperial government, parentheses citing the War Records Division of the National Archives, Record Group 120, : Records of the American Expeditionary Forces. Not even Russian Jews, he says, but New York Jews. The radicals and the financiers came out of New York City for the Russian Revolution that was the Jewish Revolution. On page 2 of his secret report to Washington on the nature of the Russian Revolution, Captain Montgomery Schuyler, G2 Intelligence, S-C-H-U-Y-L-E-R. Captain Montgomery Schuyler, G2 Intelligence, states the situation brutally, but so clearly there can be no doubt, a secret report to Washington on the nature of the Russian Revolution. Captain Montgomery Schuyler says, quote, "It is probably unwise to say this too loudly in the United States," writes Schuyler in his report, "but the Bolshevik," this is a direct quote, "the Bolshevik movement is and has been, since its beginning, guided and controlled by Russian Jews of the greasiest type." The greasiest type. "Here," says Rockwell, "was smashing evidence that the," quote, "Russian Revolution was not Russian at all, but the capture of Russia by a gang of criminal Jews." The capture of Russia by a gang of criminal Jews. Criminal Jews is redundant. They all benefit from that kosher scam that he just mentioned, from the smallest to the largest. They're all criminals. They all benefit from crime. They are an ethnic, genetic, global, international mafia. "Moreover, I discovered I had been the victim of one of the rottenest con games in all history, the use of the mantle of religion to cloak a filthy criminal conspiracy of murder and robbery. In looking through some Jewish sources, I came across a book put out by the Jews themselves called Who's Who in American Jewry. Here's the title page," we'll move on to 69. "Now let the reader ask himself if he, like me, has not believed that Jews are a religious group." Remember, this is what Hitler and Mein Kampf said is their first and their biggest lie, is that they're a religious group rather than a race, a species, as you might want to call it instead. "If a person denies Judaism, we are told, that he is not a Jew. Imagine my horror and surprise then to find on page 556 of Who's Who in American Jewry, the picture and name of the head of the atheist communist Red Army, Leon Trotsky, with the further information that he was born Bronstein." In the same Jewish book, on page 673, I found the Jews proudly listing Maxim Litvinov, the first foreign minister of Soviet Russia, Maxim Litvinov, as an American Jew named Finkelstein. Now, if the Jews are honest when they tell us that they are not a race or a conspiracy, but only a, quote, religious group, what are they doing listing these militant atheist Bolsheviks, not only as Americans, but as believers in Judaism? How can you be an atheist and a Jew if Judaism is a religion? Well, you can't, because they're not a religion. They're pretending to be a religion to fool people. In reality, they are a race. I would even say they're a species. "Since then, I have found the same thing in the current Jewish books, which Gentiles rarely bother to investigate. In Who's Who in World Jewry, 1965, endorsed by the B'nai B'rith, Jewish Theological Seminary, etc., as, quote, an honor roll of world Jews," Who's Who in World Jewry, 65, "I found on page 29 a listing for Herbert Aptheker, chief theoretician of the Communist Party, the Jew whose communist daughter, Bettina, runs the riots at Berkeley." Herbert Aptheker. I'm not exactly sure how that last name is pronounced, but Aptheker is like apothecary in English, in German, or pharmacist, essentially, I believe. I'm only 90% of that, not 100, but he was a big name. Herbert Aptheker, one of the leftist Jews out there, along with David Horowitz and the others. "I learned from the article called Khazars in the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, published by the Jews, that most Jews are not even Semites." Now, this part has been rebutted by genetic test, "or descendants of the Hebrew people of Palestine and thus of Christ's people, but mostly the descendants of a semi-oriental tribe in central Russia called Khazars or Khazars, whose king Bulan in the 6th century after Christ ordered his people en masse to become Jews." That is not true. That was a lie put out in a book by Arthur Kessler when Goyim began to catch on that the problem with Jews was not, they always knew it, but there was never words for it until the late 1800s when they came up with the word anti-Semite, which has now been queered in meaning, but originally it was meant to put the emphasis not on the religious difference between Jews and others, but on the racial difference. So it had an honest intention if it was created by a non-Jew, Wilhelm Marr. But and then the Nazis obviously went a lot further with that. And then in order to claim that there wasn't, the same way they feign about being a religion, they feign about not really being different racially from whites by coming up with this bogus Khazar theory, which, again, a Jew came up with, that Arthur Kirstler. So even Rockwell doesn't even know this when he's writing his book in 67. And that book hadn't come out a whole heck of a lot earlier, within the last 20 years of him writing this in 66 or 67. So I discovered that these Jews called Ashkenazim in the trade, as distinguished from the real Semitic Jews called Sephardim, constitute the bulk and leadership of the people we generally call Jews. Anyway, this is all wrong, and it's not only wrong, it's factually wrong. It's destructive and intentionally, because it aids the liars called Catholics in their claims that, oh no, these Jews have nothing to do with the people in the Bible. But what we know is that the genes are there and the behavior is there from day one. That's what matters. That's why the fact is that Jews are a race, and converting them to Catholicism doesn't change their behavior. It requires new words to be made to describe them. But why make up new words and just call them what they are, Jews? Dumping water in their head doesn't change anything. That's just Christian religious hocus pocus. But yeah, this theory was come up with by a Jew, and he's gulping it, but it's absolutely wrong. And for him to say that, then all it does is aid the Christians in claiming that, oh no, the Jews came along later and they're not older than Christians, and Christianity didn't come from them, and Christianity is something totally different. And then they get into all these retarded, bogus distinctions between Hebrews and Israelites and Jews and Khazars, and it's really beyond stupid. There's a very clear strain, because you can prove it from quotes from Romans back before the Jesus clown ever existed, that Jews were behaving exactly the same way as they do today. That's a key to you that, like, oh no, those weren't cats. Those are some other animal called an oblat back then. Oblats aren't like cats at all. Oh, they just acted the same. They ate mice and they purred, but they're a totally different thing. They're oblats. Oblats and cats are totally different. It's purely word games, and really Christianity being a Jewish construct and a Jewish creation and spread by Jews in order to destroy ethnic racial unity among whites and make them hate their own ancestors and reject them for worship of a tribal god, Yahweh, and this creep Jew, Jesus. They play exactly the same word games that Jews do. And so don't be fooled by this Khazar garbage. He grants a paragraph too, but he is absolutely wrong about it. It is a swarm, just to be technically full, I'm going to complete this paragraph, but really, this is absolutely factually untrue. It is swarms of these Khazars. No, they're Ashkenazi. Most Jews are about 40% white and 60% other. They were, most of them are ethnically inbred in Poland, actually. They mostly stayed among themselves, but they outmarried enough that they have some white admixture. But they are, they're not Khazars, though. That has been disproved by genetic tests. It is swarms of these Khazars with their Oriental heritage who are pushing us around, forcing integration on us, degrading our culture with their filthy art, chaos and pornography, and worst of all, spreading the disease of communism, all while hiding in the robes of the Jewish religion. No, it's not Khazars. Khazar is a red herring dragged by Jews themselves. You understand red herring? It's a fish dragged across a path that dogs are pursuing in order to mislead them. So the Jews themselves drag the red herring of Khazar, because Jews are not Khazars. They have a different ethnicity. It's genetically distinct. They're a race. not a religion. Anytime you're a Khazar, you're hearing someone who may be honest in intention, but they're not intelligent enough to know what's actually going on. We give him a bit of a break because this was closer to when that theory was first come up with. They didn't have the genetic testing they do today. We know better than Rockwell knew. Knowing how incredible all this may seem to the average American, we're at the bottom of page 69 here, as it seemed incredible to me when I first came upon it, I will here include a document I later found in the Library of Congress, a document at once so shocking and yet so absolutely unimpeachable that in the 15 years since I first saw it, and while presenting it constantly to thousands of people in college speeches, I have never yet found anybody to contradict one line of it. In the London Illustrated Sunday Herald for February 8, 1920, I found a full-page article written by Winston Churchill, including his picture, so there can be no mistake of the identity of the author. There was a novelist also named Winston Churchill, called, this is the famous in white nationalist circles, Zionism versus Bolshevism, a struggle for the soul of the Jewish people. And a brilliant article, but it's still wrong because Jews are both of those at the same time. They're always taking both. They take all sides of everything. They always get between you and where you're going. So they're both a national people for themselves and international for everybody else. They're not struggling for one or the other. They're both. The Jews have no soul and there is no struggle is the truth. But yet his facts and his formulations were absolutely brilliant in that article. Nobody could have done better. Could have done as well, maybe, but not better. In this full-page article, Winston Churchill sets forth the fact that the Jewish people all over the world were divided between two courses of action, Zionism and communism. He points out that the Russian Revolution was not Russian at all, but the capture of the Russian people by atheistical Marxist international Jews. And typically the conservative idiots, oh, those weren't Jews, they were atheists. Because they refuse to accept the fact that Jews are a race, not a religion. So that's why you can have atheist Jews. In fact, most Jews proclaim they are atheists. Either Winston Churchill himself is a liar, he begins page 70, a bigot, a scapegoater, and a hater, or one of the biggest facts in the history of the world has been denied to you and millions of other non-Jews. If communist revolutions are not the act of people in the countries themselves, but are rather the capture of those countries by Jews, as was the case in Russia, then it is impossible for you to protect yourself from a communist revolution in America if you are denied the knowledge that communist revolutions are Jewish. And it is precisely this knowledge you and millions of other Americans are denied to make you helpless before this arrogant Jewish aggression. Now I had found the second of the forged charts foisted off on my people. The first was the lie that there was no such thing as breed or race among humans. He talked about that earlier in an earlier chapter when he was studying sociology at Brown and trying to get to the bottom of human group behavior. The first was the lie that there was no such thing as breed or race among humans, although there was breed everywhere else in nature. And here was the second big lie of the forgers, the chart forgers, namely that Jews were, quote, just a persecuted religion rather than the race or breed of people responsible for communism. And that's a good mean to you. Jews are the breed, the race responsible for communism. Useful. I went on to find in the February 3rd, 1949 issue of the New York Journal American that Jacob Schiff, then head of the gigantic financial empire called Kuhn Loeb and Company, and grandfather of the woman who now owns the super left-wing New York Post, quote, sank over $20 million, that's in early 1900s money, in the Russian Revolution, financing another Jew, Trotsky or Bronstein, in the murder of the Christian and anti-communist white Russians in masses. White Russians, not a racial designation, but refers to those loyal to the crown and loyal to the nation, the actual Russian defenders, rather than the Jew revolutionaries trying to overthrow the Tsar and the country. So Jacob Schiff out of New York, again, this is associated with funding communist revolution in Russia and bringing in the Fed to control the United States through a central bank that we did not have until the 1913 Act created it. Same rotten Jews are doing all of this. So any Goy, the law to derive here is that any Goy nation that tolerates Jews in its midst has set a ticking time bomb for its own destruction, utter destruction. And Christianity is the main thing, and even Rockwell doesn't realize this, Christianity is the main protective device Jews have, the main cultural institution they've created, only significant cultural institution they've created, because it protects them, because it prevents Goyim from seeing Jews for what they are. What prevents white people from seeing Jews for what they are? Christianity, more than any other thing. Otherwise, even if whites weren't interested, they would be able to look at Jews neutrally and say, oh, they're just a criminal gang. That's actually they're a breed of people, but they're also just a criminal gang. That's their racial behavior. Those are their traits. That's who they are. They've shown us who they are over the many centuries, over the literal millennia. They've shown us who they are. Now I had found the second of the forged charts foisted off on my people. The first was the lie that there was no such thing as breed or race among humans, although there was breed everywhere else in nature. And here was the second big lie of the forgers, that Jews were, quote, just a persecuted religion, unquote, rather than the race or breed of people responsible for communism. I went on to find in the February 3rd, 1949 issue of the New York Journal American that New York Journal American, all those capitalized, that Jacob Schiff, the head of the gigantic financial empire called Kuhn and Loeb, Jacob Schiff of Kuhn and Loeb, Kuhn Loeb and Company, and grandfather, woman who now owns the left-wing New York Post, sank over $20 million in the Russian Revolution, financing another Jew, Trotsky, or Bronstein, as we know, in the murder of the Christian and anti-communist white Russians in masses. Most surprising and revealing of all was the often invisible connection between a seemingly pure Gentile communist and the inevitable Jew lurking directly in the rear, as Churchill explained in his article. Lenin, not a Jew, but was of Jewish background, at least one quarter, was married to Krupskaya, a Jewess. Stalin, also not a Jew, was married to the sister of Lazar Kaganovich, Rose, a Jewess. He was married to the sister of one of his top killers, Lazar Kaganovich. Her name was Rose, a Jewess. Stalin's son married another Jewess, and it turns out that Khrushchev was the prodigy of the same Jew and married another Jewess in Kaganovich's family. Chedi Jagan, communist premier of Guinea, is married to a Jewess named Janet Rosenberg from Chicago. There's an obscure communist for you. Also, look at the American presidents. How many of their kids have not married Jews? You might find one Bush who didn't marry a Jew. All the rest of them. Jimmy Carter's daughter married a Jew. Biden's kids married Jews. Most of Bush's kids married Jews. So this is how it goes with the upper levels of American society. They all end up marrying into Jews. That's an indication to you of where the real power lies. In the satellite countries, it was the same. More Jews. Even that sacred, quote, friend of America, Tito, was the protege of Moses Pijad, another Jew, Khazar, who does the suggesting for the strutting Mr. Tito. This is where that Khazar error comes from. Popular figures like Rockwell popularizing it, but it's absolutely factually wrong. You should never do it. People who talk about it should be corrected, and if they persist, ignored. And in Cuba, we find a Jew named Zinkowicz quietly advising Fidel. Some claim Castro was Jew or part Jew. The Jewess Anna Pauker ran Romania. The Jew Berman ran Poland, and the Jew Rakosi, Rosencrantz, ran Hungary, and the American Jew Gerhard Eisler was running East Germany. In the USA, the FBI and other agencies were catching and or exposing hordes of Jewish spies and communists. Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, Morton Sobel, Harry Soblin, Robert Soblin, Sidney Weinbaum, Judith Copland, David Greenglass, Abraham Brotman, Miriam Moskowitz, Kramer, Cohen, Harry Gold, Joseph Weinberg, Nathan Silvermaster, Klaus Fuchs, Jacob Golos, the Krugers, Cohens, White, Weiss, Alex Trachtenberg, V.J. Jerome, Isaac Romaine, Simon Gerson, Alex Bittleman, Betty Gannett, Isidore Begun, Jacob Mindell, Israel Amter, W. Weinstone, Fred Fine, Sid Seinberg, Louis Weinstock, Albert Landon, Fred Rose, J. Peters, Goldberger, Jacob Steckel, Gerhard Eisler, Hans Eisler, John Gates, Israel Reagan-Strife, Gilbert Greenberg, Gus Hall, Arvo Mike Hallberg, Irving Potash, Carl Weisberg, Philip Bart, Philip Jaffe, Andrew Roth, Mark Kane, K-A-Y-N, Mark Julius Ginsburg, Gil Green, Gilbert Greenberg, Carl Winter, Philip Carl Weisberg. The names were sometimes changed, but the picture of these camel-like Jewish faces were more than enough to identify them as Jews. So these are the sort of names you're going to know that they sort of anglicize them to Rose or Kane or something, but when you look into it, they got a Jewish surname, Jewish first name. This list of identified promoters of communism and spies could be extended for many pages if there were any point in merely multiplying the list of names. But this ought to be enough to eliminate any question in the mind of the reader as to the Jewish inspiration of communism. Out of 41 workers with communist records at our secret radar laboratories in Fort Monmouth, 39 turned out to be Jews. Out of 18 Americans convicted of espionage for the Soviet Union since 1946, 16 were Jews and one was a Negro. Out of 21 convicted communist conspiracy to overthrow the United States government by illegal force and violence, 18 were Jews. When the FBI nabbed the second-string Politburo, out of 17, 14 of the traitors were identified as Jews. Out of the Hollywood 10 who took the Fifth Amendment when asked if they were communist, 9 were Jews. In the United States National Archives in Washington, D.C., researcher Harold Arrowsmith found a letter dated February 23, 1921, from J. Edgar Hoover, the special assistant to the Attorney General, addressed to W.L. Hurley, Office of the Undersecretary of State, Department of State, Washington, D.C. It bears State Department decimal file number 861.007-8795 and reads, quote, "Receipt is acknowledged of your letter of the 4th instant, U-H/861.0/7885, referring to copy of dispatch number 62 from the American consul at Reval, dated December 1, 1920, relative to the disseminators of Bolshevik propaganda, submitting a list of the same and requesting a reply, the substance of which will be communicated to the American consul at Reval." This is over in East Europe. I'm not sure if that's a Russian name, but it's somewhere over there. "From an examination of the list of names and addresses submitted, it is indicated that at least the major portion of the list of 32 names is authentic, particularly because of this notation. J. Ferguson, evidently Isaac Ferguson, Felix Frankfurter, Jacob Hartman, and Fred Biedenkamp, all known to be actors in this movement. Signed, J. E. Hoover, Special Assistant to the Attorney General." Underlining mine, GLR. So our government had known all along that Frankfurter was a Bolshevik. They had known it when Frankfurter was slipping scores of communist spies, such as his protege, Alger Hiss, though like one of the very few non-Jews, into our State Department, and Roosevelt must have known it when he put this same treacherous Jew in the Supreme Court in 1939. But no one had ever dared tell the American public. So these dirty, nasty Russian Jews are coming over here and infiltrating our government, being promoted and taking over. This is all how we got to where we are today. Another Frankfurter protege was Dean Acheson, quote, "our Secretary of State," he was not a Jew, "who helped give China to the communists. when their mutual pal Alger Hiss was on trial as a perjurer and communist spy, Acheson and Frankfurter, who was then a Supreme Court high judge, he's like one of the top Jews in America and on the Supreme Court. I think he was the first Jew in the Supreme Court, first Jew judge in the Supreme Court, both testified for Red Spy Hiss as character witnesses. Double exclamation points. In the early days of his career, before he had built a machine to do the work for him, Frankfurter was openly communistic. He led a rabble in defense of Sacco and Vanzetti, the red anarchists who were eventually executed. He was attorney for the Russian American Industrial Corporation, which was set up to organize and finance the textile industry in Russia after the 1917 Bolshevik victory. Among others now known to have been communist, indoctrinated by Frankfurter at Harvard Law School and later placed in key government positions, are Lee Pressman, John Abt, the lawyer that Oswald, the president assassin, asked for before he was shot by Jude Rubenstein, and Nathan Witt, all Jews. I looked into the Daily Worker and found the atmosphere to be strictly kosher. There were touching in memory of ads to our dear mother from Bernie, Abby, Izzy, and Nathan Ginsburg, notices of picnics at Weinbaum's Lovely Grove, and an ad for Harry's Clothing Store, which advertises both special rates for communist customers and the Worker, and also rabbis' outfits. The editor of the Worker at the time was John Gates, but when Gates was arrested, I learned that his real name was Israel Regenstrife. So covering themselves with old-fashioned, solid reputation Anglo names. I had read in the newspapers that anti-Semitism was running rampant in Russia, but I found the Jews boasting that the head of Soviet propaganda was a Jew, Ilya Ehrenberg. With all the Jews being caught red-handed as red spies, is it surprising that the Jew Ehrenberg, head of Soviet propaganda, wished to spread the idea that the communists are anti-Jewish? Even in Japan and China, I found the early planters of the communist seeds were Jewish. Even in Japan and China, communist seed spreaders were Jews. In Japan, there was an Anna Rosenberg, and guess who turned up in China as advisor to Sun Yat-sen? Good old Jew George Sokolsky, our late, quote, conservative columnist. To an intelligent man, the facts were undeniable. They might be unexplainable, but they were simply undeniable as facts. Communism was Jewish. A racial atheist Jew, Marx, started it, and other atheist Jews like Engels and LaSalle led it. I don't believe Engels was a Jew, actually. LaSalle, I think, was. He also spells it wrong. And the Jews in the United States, at least, were almost unanimous in their venomous hatred and suppression of anybody who so much as asked about this fact. Even noticing the number of Jewish communists and race mixers brought the unfortunate victim as an hysterical campaign against him as a hate monger. So they never changed their terminology. Notice this is years, decades and decades ago. They've been calling anyone who talks about the facts as a hater. The same people who also screamed the loudest for academic freedom to preach communism were also the most merciless in their campaign of suppression against anyone wishing to discuss the Jews in anything but the most fulsome and disgusting praise. One of the things which makes it very difficult for many people to believe that Jews are behind communism is the fact that Jews are also noted for loving money and are, therefore, thought to be, without exception, capitalists. This idea that because Jews love money, they couldn't be communist would be true if communism were on the level, if communism were actually a movement to help poor people, as it pretends to be. But everywhere that communism has succeeded, it does not help the poor people. Communism always puts in a position of tremendous power and wealth vast numbers of Jews, and robs and enslaves the people. In other words, communism with the Jews is not a genuine ideology. It is a confidence game, a swindle, and a method of using force and revolution as a shortcut to wealth and power, which usually takes longer to obtain by regular business means, even employing the sort of business methods for which Jews are justly notorious, i.e. cheating and swindling, and other sharp practices. Communism is the old shipwreck business for the criminal profit of red Jews, returning to the analogy and metaphor he started the book with, Jews as shipwreckers, setting up false lighthouses and leading ship of state onto the rocks, and then killing the crew and stealing all their stuff. And why don't we, let's leave it there. We've gone about an hour. There's about probably another hour to go, so we'll split this into an A and B, but there you go. So the first big lie he learns is that race does exist. They're lying that race doesn't exist, and they've hidden that Jews are a race, not a religion. These are two of the main takeaways, and we see his personal specific path to this truth in the age before the internet. I've been Alex Linder, reading to you out of Chapter 5 of George Lincoln Rockwell's White Power, published in the year he was assassinated, 1967. This has been the first half of Chapter 5. And Chapter 5 called The Shipwreckers. And thanks for being with me. And I'll be back again real soon. And we'll finish up Chapter 5 and continue.